Orlando InfoPod, the podcast for all things Orlando. Do you love vacationing in the magical world of Orlando, Florida? Do you need information, news, laughter? Well, this is the podcast for you. We have news, views, and information that will help you have the best vacation ever. Available on 8 platforms. Find us on Facebook for all the links.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Peter Harper, your host here on the Orlando InfoPod. It's been a long time since we've done any shows, a real long time, but we've decided to bring it back and get it going again. Let's get the Orlando information flowing. Let's get everybody talking and let's get some information. Right, we will be bringing it back as a once monthly show, just to start with and see how it goes. And we're going to have lots of information brought to you by some of the old team that you used to listen to on the show. And we're going to try and get some new faces in as well. And we're going to be talking about the parks, of course. We're going to be talking about food, drink, and things you can do outside the parks, amongst many other things. And that will be starting in August. I will give you the exact date in the very near future, but we're still in the process of getting the show together. And we want to do a good job this time. We want to make sure everything runs smoothly and everything is as helpful as it can be. We will be, we will be bringing back some of the old clips for this episode, just to give you a taste of what the future will hold. I'm going to play them very, very shortly, and you can remind yourself of the type of information that we'll be giving you, and hopefully enjoy what you hear. So I'm not going to say any more. This is just an introduction to let people know that the Orlando Info Pod is on the way back and is going to be bigger and better than ever. More chat, less music, more information. So from me, Peter Harper, I hope you come by, have a listen, tell your friends, and let's get the show moving again. Adios. Good evening and welcome to the very first episode of the Orlando Info Pod. You are going to be listening to some people you might recognise tonight in our very first show. We've got some voices that you'll have heard regular if you'd listen to the Orlando Info Zone radio show, which is now defunct and retired. But it was good while it lasted. But we've got this brand new venture of the Orlando Info Pod with lots of new stuff. And we are able to do group discussions now, which is something we couldn't do before. And we are going to kick the night off with our favourite rides. I'm going to get our guests to introduce themselves. And we are going to start with Paul. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Paul Elwell. I'm an admin on Orlando InfoZone and the other site. And I've been on the
site. You can't say the other site's name. This is a generic Orlando show.
It's Orlando time. Everybody knows me on there. And I've been admin on there since July 2015, I think. And we have been very lucky to have multiple trips to the Sunshine State. And one's coming up this week.
Oh, very nice. I wish I was going on it. Joe, what about you?
Hi, I'm Joe. Obviously, the long-suffering wife of Paul. Lucky enough to be admin on InfoZone and share Paul's love of going to Orlando, which obviously we're going on Friday.
Oh, very nice. I'm sure we're going to get lots of reports back from your little dalliance into the magic zone.
I'm sure we will.
Hi, Bex. Tell us a little bit about you.
So I'm Becky Watson, Kathy's daughter, who's the admin of Orlando InfoZone. Make sure I get one. And I'm home for Easter, so.
Excellent.
Regular tag along.
We're looking forward to hearing from you. Kath?
Hi, I'm Kath Watson. I'm one of the admins on Orlando InfoZone. I'm a Disney Vacation Club member and a real Disney enthusiast, but generally love going to Orlando.
And if you've listened to any of the old radio shows, you'll have heard a lot of in-depth clips from Kath and Bex and Bob. They were very, very interesting, and I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from them. Right, Annette, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Nettie. I'm lucky enough to be a part of the team on Orlando Info Zone, and I'm lucky enough to be going to Florida every year.
Very good. Sue?
For the last 15 years or so.
Oh, excellent. Sue?
Hi, I'm Sue. I'm also admin on Orlando InfoZone and help out on the network page and a few of the other groups. I've been going to Orlando since 1998. And yeah, that's it. Back to Peter.
Well, there you have it. There's our six guests for this show. I suppose I should introduce myself. I forgot about that bit. I'm Peter Harper. And I am the creator of the Orlando Info Zone and It's Orlando Time. Two very big names on Facebook that you might all know. If you don't, why don't you? And basically, this show is all about Orlando. Everything to do with going to Orlando, eating in Orlando, drinking in Orlando, or going to the parks. You name it, we are all part of an Orlando loving family. We're all from different groups, and we will be getting people in from a lot of other groups, Orlando groups off Facebook. So you're going to get lots of information, lots of tips, lots of knowledge, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. As I say, I'm Peter. I've got a wife, Christine, and we look after our two grandchildren full time, one of whom is two and a bit. The other one is one and a bit, and they've been to Orlando twice already, so they're getting well bedded in. Right, our subject tonight is our favourite parks. And I'm going to get each of the guests to tell you a little bit about their favourite
our favourite rides in the parks. Let me get it right. They're going to tell you a little bit about their rides that they like the most in the theme parks in Orlando and why they like them and what makes them special. And we are going to start off with Kath Watson.
Put me on the spot. Thanks, Peter. As a huge Disney fan, I think I have to pick one of the Disney rides as my ultimate favourite. And it's one of the latest ones that's just been opened, and it's the Slinky Dog Dash. It's over in Hollywood Studios, and it opened coming up probably for a year now. Really popular still, with queues of over an hour and a half waiting for it. We're lucky enough to bag some fast passes last year when we went, and as we walked in, it kind of looked really high because there's no build-up around. The track itself looks quite high as you walk into the Toy Story land, and I nearly chickened out because I'm not a great roller coaster ride, even though I'm under some pressure to do Mako, which is not going to happen this summer. We walked in and I nearly bottled out because about Everest is about my limit, but I'm really glad I did it because it's a really good family roller coaster. The Beck can probably tell a bit more because she's an engineer, so she can tell you that the track is metal. And
it's a proper steel coaster. Yeah. So you can see everything that's going on around you, like with Everest and stuff. That's all encased and it's half inside, half outside. You don't really see, you know, the beams and things like that, whereas this is
almost a pure roller coaster.
Yeah.
So really smooth ride, but a lot of fun, and a surprise twist for Disney. I think it's the first time that it actually stops halfway round, and then you have the sensation of it winding up and pulling backwards a little bit before it launches you up and over one of the rises.
Yeah. Not too intense, I'd say, as well. Like, even though it is a roller coaster, it is definitely family friendly.
Yeah, definitely your kids' zone. It's a lot of fun, and especially do it at nighttime, because to see the rest of the Toy Story land lit up at night was pretty spectacular, wasn't it, going along?
Yeah.
Lots of fun, lots of laughing, not a lot of screaming, but a lot of fun for the family to do.
Oh, that's brilliant. We better continue with Bex. Excuse the squeaky door, people.
So mine's actually in Animal Kingdom. It's quite probably an unusual one. But my favourite ride is Dinosaur. I'm quite the thrill seeker. I love the scary rides. And I especially love Dinosaur because I just scream the whole way round. It's quite intense. You go back in time to rescue an Iguanodon before the meteor strike. And you come across all sorts of big scary dinosaurs and amazing animatronics, really, aren't they? And
you're shaking around quite a lot, though,
aren't
you?
You are thrown around a lot.
So anyone with bad backs and
you
know, injuries and things like that, I'd give that one a miss.
It's actually quite like an interesting structure, getting into an engineering side again. But the vehicle itself moves on its own as well as on the track, so you get extra motion going on.
Another good family.
Well, I've got to admit, I've never been on that ride. So it's quite interesting to hear your opinion on it, because I'll have to put it on my to-do list for the next trip. Right, thank you, Bex. Thank you, Kath. We'll move on to Sue Sutherland. What is your favourite ride, Sue?
My favourite ride is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Ooh. And I think it has been from the very first time I went on it, which wasn't actually my first holiday. I was a bit of a chicken back then. It would have been 2003 before I actually plucked up the courage to go on it. But I go on it every time now, sometimes two or three times. And unfortunately, because I have to go in a wheelchair, well, a mobility scooter, I actually go in the exit, so I miss the actual queue. You know, the queuing system, it's so gorgeous to see everything.
I bet you're devastated.
Oh, well, I am actually, because it's an interesting queuing system and there's loads to see, so it's a nice walk through, so I don't mind much with the boring ones, but that is quite a good one. But I go at the exit, and if you get the right cast member, because I have to use my crutches to get from the scooter to the actual train, they leave you on twice because it goes around and then comes into the other side. And then so it needs to go around again to come back into the same side so you get your crutches back. So, and you don't have to walk up about 5 or 6 steps to go up and over the top of the tracks to get back out. So, yeah, that's quite good. It's a thrill ride. I'm kind of hoping, I haven't actually measured my grandchildren for it this year, but it's 102 centimetres you need to be to get on that ride. And basically, it's just a runaway mine train round an old mine track. It's brilliant. It's really interesting to see. There's loads of stuff to look at. And my ambition this year is to do it in the dark, because I believe that that also, kind of as Cass said with the Slinky Dog, I believe this one I was also supposed to be really good at in the dark. So I'm really looking forward to trying it out this year in the dark. So, yeah, I think that's about it. Do you need any more?
No, that'll do. Thank you very, very much. How many times have you been on it, Sue?
How many times have I been on it? Oh, I must be going up to about 20-odd now.
Ooh.
A couple of times every holiday, anyway.
You definitely do like it.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as Mickey Mouse?
Well, yeah. Normally I have Mickey Mouse with me in some form, even if it's just on my T-shirt.
Okay, we'll move on to Joe. Joe, what's your favourite ride?
Right, okay. Well, I do quite like Big Thunder as well, so I am with Sue on that one. But I'm going to take us over now to SeaWorld.
Ooh.
Because one of my favourite rides there is Manta. And I do believe, I could be mistaken, but I do believe there's only this type of ride in Orlando, this style of ride. It's where you go in and you are actually, you're sitting first, the floor drops from beneath you, and then your seat tilts forward. So you are facing straight down and looking at the ground. And then you take off, you go around, and it is as if you are a manta ray swimming out in the ocean, and it is just amazing. I don't know, I just think the whole thrill of it, and when you go upside down, so you are actually looking up at the sky as you go round, and you sometimes don't really know exactly where you are on the ride, but it is absolutely fantastic. But I will just say, the only downside is it does quite hurt your boobs for us ladies when you are facing down and you are stuck. And sometimes at the end of the ride, they do hold you for a little bit. So you're out in the sun, hanging upside down. And yeah. Probably only is for a minute at the most, but it does seem a lot longer than that when you're on that ride. But it is a fantastic ride. And if you haven't done it, I really do think it's a ride that everyone should try. So it is, that's one of my favourites.
Oh, brilliant. The nearest I've got to riding Manta is getting splashed by the water.
Still part of the ride.
I will get on it one day, I'm sure, but yeah. I haven't got round to it just yet. But I do like roller coasters, just with having a wife who doesn't like roller coasters, and now we've got the grandchildren with us. There's not much chance of getting on many. Aww. But as they get older, I'm sure we will get on them. Nettie, what is your favourite ride?
Manchester Flight of Passage in Animal Kingdom, which opened in 2017 when I was there with Jess, but there was no chance Jess would get on it. So we went and had a look around Pandora, which I loved, but I was really upset that I couldn't get on it. I waited till last year and I managed to get 8 fast passes for the 2 weeks we were there. We did 5 of them and I cancelled 3. But we did 5 fast passes. It was amazing. If you sit in different numbers, it's 1 to 16, you get a totally different look at the screen at the what's going on in front of you. I do want to go on without a fast pass because I've not been through the queue and seen everything. On the fast pass, you just go through and you're on. So I do want to go on without too much of a wait.
Yeah.
If that's possible.
As Sue was saying before, a lot of the rides, the queues are all part of the ride.
Yes.
The build-up to it.
I've not seen none of that on Pandora.
Get you excited.
Flights of Passage, so I do want to see that bit.
Well, that just gives you an excuse to go back and do it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Right, finally, Mr. Elwell.
Hello, Peter again. I was going to say Terror, but I've changed my mind.
Ooh.
I'm being a bit controversial. I'm going back to SeaWorld, and I'm going to go with Mako. And it is a, it's a, it's 5 years old now, Mako. It's the longest, fastest, and tallest roller coaster in Orlando. And you get weightlessness as you go over the humps for about 4 seconds, I think. Tom and I, the 1 year, a couple of years ago, we rode it 3 times on the trot. And the challenge to anybody doing it is ride the whole ride with your arms up in the air. I did. And I was a little bit poorly after, shall we say. I wasn't sick. I didn't embarrass myself. But it is a fantastic ride. And people say, you know, these rides can be bumpy. But I can honestly say that Mako is the smoothest ride, roller coaster ride I've ever been on. And I think it is my favourite roller coaster ride. And the other thing is, he's taking people on, people who were scared to go on. And last year, we had the pleasure of taking Mr. and Mrs. Wilkes on board. Now, Joe and I were crying with laughter, and it was we paid for the locker, because you have to pay for a locker to put your stuff in, and it was the best $2 we spent in the whole holiday. Pure magic to see their faces on that ride before and after.
Sam was okay,
but Andrew was like little banshee crying away in the corner. But we have said that this summer we are going to get Simone and Paul Robinson on, and I'm going to get Kath Watson on as well.
Oh,
no shaking your head. You're going on that ride. You can come on with us. Experience Mako. It is an excellent ride. It isn't scary. It's tall. It isn't scary. It's just exhilaration. It's fantastic. And that will be, at the moment, my favourite ride. I like all the other ones that you've said, except Joe's Manta. I'd hate that one. But all the other ones, Flight of Passage, they're all amazing. But for me, to be Mako is the one I'd go for.
You're an evil man, Mr. Elwell.
No, I just plan these things, Peter. A little bit of emotional blackmail will get
us. And you wonder why people take the mickey out of you when you've had two shandies.
two.
Well, he never finishes the second, does he? Yeah.
The plants get watered, Peter, don't worry.
Right, for those listening, most people in this chat that you've got tonight are long-time friends. We've all not all met each other, but we've all known each other for a long period now, so we do tend to take the mickey out of each other a little bit, the mickey.
Really?
Right, I suppose I better tell you what my favourite ride is. I've got to admit, my favourite ride is, some people will say, well, that's a bit tame, is Soarin'. I first went on Soarin', the first trip I went to Orlando about 14 years ago. And to me, it was just out of this world. I was sat on that seat with the breeze blowing on my face and stomach churning as we flew over the Taj Mahal and everywhere else. And I was going, I like this. I like this a lot. And it's always been one of my must-do rides. And the new one, I like even more. So, I can't beat the first one because it was the first one and it was just so amazing to experience something like that. But, they've definitely made improvements with the new video they've got running. So that's mine, Soarin'. Right. One of my favourite rides that everybody knows is It's a Small World. And I'm going to go around the group now and ask for their opinions on this fantastic, wonderful, exuberating ride. Is that a word, exuberating?
Today.
On the Orlando Info part, we do have the word exuberating. Right. To me, I took my grandchildren on it last year for the first trip. Oh, the year before, should I say, just. And that was one of the few rides we could take them on, obviously, with them being very, very young. And although Casey was only a few months old and Leo was only one and, yeah, just one, I think. When they got on that ride, their eyes lit up and they couldn't take their eyes off anything. And you're talking of a 9-month-old looking at all the things that were going on and just smiles. You wouldn't think they'd take it in at that age, but they do. And I've got to admit, my smile was as broad as theirs because I've got the mentality of a nine-month-old, apparently. Right. Nettie, what's your opinion on It's a Small World?
I don't love it. I don't hate it. It's something that you've got to go on each time you go.
Yes,
we loved it. She didn't know where to look. She loved it. We went on twice.
Yeah, even if it's only to see your kids' faces, I think.
Yeah. It's something you've got to do while you're there.
Yeah, Sue?
Yeah, I love it. Always have. I think as well, like you say, seeing the kids' faces. When we first went in 1988, my son was just over two, and Sheena, my daughter, was seven. And then we had our oldest daughter, who was 18, but she loved it as well, to be honest with you. But the two kids, they just loved it, and Sean just was looking around, and it was just amazing. It's air conditioned as well, so it's a fine time to cool down a little bit, and that damn song does sing in your head a little bit, and it does get
that
stuck
lovely
there.
Lovely song.
Yes, it is a good song, but it does kind of stay there for a while, does it?
For those who ever listened to the Orlando InfoZone radio show, you'll know it was our theme tune and got played every single week, much to the annoyance of a lot of people, but the joy of others. Okay. Kath and Becky.
It was the first ride that we took Becky on when we went to Disneyland Paris. She was about 4 months old. So it was the very first we went on at Disney.
Do you remember it?
Remember it ever since, though?
Oh, yeah. And it doesn't leave your head after that, does it?
So we've obviously done the Orlando one as well. And every time we go, we have to do it. It's one of Charlie's to-do lists, although we're not allowed to sing. Every time the boat starts and the music starts and we all start singing along, he goes, shut up.
Yeah. Can't have you spoiling that song.
And I have to say, when we're all sitting there together and we go as an extended family sometimes, so there's my mum, my brother, all the people I love most in the world on the ride, and it gets to the last bit and it does make me quite emotional that we're all sort of together in the sentiment of it. As corny as it is, it just makes me feel a bit emotional. And yeah, I have been known to shed a tear.
A lot of people have been known to shed a tear, but not for that reason.
Sort of sits here with his arms folded going, oh, you're really making me go on this.
I going to say...
Go on, Paul.
I think we're sort of like with Nettie on that one. I don't hate it. I don't like it, but it's something that we have to do every holiday. It's part of your Disney holiday.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, we were lucky enough to have a former cast member with us who worked, where did she work there? At Hollywood Studios. And she pointed out, as you're going along on the ride, there are lots of hidden Mickeys as you're going round. And we hadn't seen them. No. We hadn't spotted them at all. So that was something that you can look out for on the ride. So part as well as looking at the amazing puppets.
You've
got their puppets? Puppets
and things like that. They're real, aren't they?
Yes, the real puppets, Paul.
Real puppets, yeah. There's lots of things to look out for. So I do like it. It is something that has to be done.
Well, to me, it epitomises Florida. It says everything about Florida. It's a classic. It should never be missed. It should never be messed with, never be taken away. It is Walt Disney World.
Well, I can't.
That and the Carousel of Progress are two originals that should remain for all time.
Yeah,
and everybody should do it, even if you'd like it. Yes, it's got an annoying tune. Yes, it's a bit corny at times. And this year, or when we went recently, and we've been going for many, many years and many, many times, as you know, it's the first time I saw a clock as you board the. Didn't we? As you walk in, there's a like a digital kind of clock that
pop in it.
And we never knew this. And there's always things to learn on it. And you look out for the different countries and you have a little bit of a laugh and stuff. But yeah, it's a must. We don't go to sleep on that one, do we?
Not that one. Carousel of Progress, we have done, but not.
But it not is. Yet. I'm with you there, Peter.
Right. Yeah. Getting back to Paul Shandy's, it depends how many he's had, whether he's
that's it, yeah. That's true. Yeah. And I do like the one in Disneyland Paris.
Yes.
I thought that one, the Disneyland Paris one, is a little bit better than the Orlando one, dare I say it.
Don't say all the rides in Disneyland Paris are better than Florida, but I haven't said that one.
Okay.
That's because they're not used as much. That's my reasoning anyway.
That's it. We'll go with that one.
Right. I haven't primed you for anything else, have I?
No. So
I'm gonna
Can I just say one more thing about It's a Small World?
You certainly can too.
And just as Joe and Paul comparing the rides to Disneyland Paris, we did California a couple of times at Disneyland in California. And It's a Small World's different out there. It goes outside.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah, it's apart from the heat of the sun writing off, but yeah, it does go outside. And I can't remember what it's called now. It's the cars. They've got like a land themed cars.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, it's almost the same as Test Track, but it is themed around cars, and it is amazing. It's way better than Test Track. Florida, it's a really good ride. So if anyone is fortunate enough to go to Disneyland in California, you do need to go on cars.
Well, definitely be giving that a go.
Definitely.
Yeah. I'm being looked at here.
Oh.
I feel the eyes burning on the side of my head.
Right. I want to thank Paul and Joe Elwell for joining us for this part of the show. I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more from them in the future. And we look forward to that. Thank you for coming in and giving us your opinion on your best ride. And yeah, we'll let you go.
Okay. Thank you both.
Thank you very
we'll
much.
Speak to you again
Good
soon.
Night, Paul.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Right, I'm going to throw something at Kath now. Your least favourite ride.
Oh, it's easy.
Oh, that was easy.
It's still a Disney one. It's Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin.
How can you not like that?
I knew it would be popular. The gun never works for me. Every time we go around and I aim it up ready to shoot, and it never hits the target. I end up getting off with zero.
But that's nothing to do with you at all. Does everybody else's gun work?
Yeah, I'd say mine works okay. I gotta say, talking about shooting ones though, Men in Black's shooting is much better than...
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Like, they just need to learn a trick or two from Universal, I think, and then Mum might be happy.
Quite a good aim, so I don't know what it is about it, and everybody else seems to do well, so I just sit and enjoy the view going round, but it would be nice if I could use the gun as well, so, yeah.
You meant to pull the trigger, you know. That's where you're going wrong. Right. Sue, what's your least favourite ride?
Well, I've never been on it, but the ride I'm most terrified of is Tower of Terror.
Oh,
I know. Tower of Terror's gone, eh?
I'll tell you what it is.
For years and years, I used to stay in a high-rise flat, and I used to stay on the 19th floor. And I used to have this recurring dream that when I was going up down the lift would suddenly break and I would just fall. I mean, obviously, I never died. I just plummeted to the ground, and then in the dream, it used to bounce and it used to go up, and a bit of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, it would go out of the top of the building and stuff like that. So all I can ever think about when I think about Tower Terror is that dream. Well, and I've just never been able to get over it and get on it.
It sounds to me like you've already been on Tower of Terror in your dream, because that describes it pretty much perfectly.
Well, this is it, yeah. But I don't know why, but I've just never been able to get on it. And I'll also make another confession while we're on it. I do not go on rides that go upside down.
Oh.
Terrified of them.
Scared of losing your money?
Don't have any money. Ian keeps that one closely to his hip. But no, I'm a bit of a coward when it comes to rides that go upside down, yeah. I would like to, but I've never managed it yet.
I'm sure you'll pluck up the courage one day.
Just don't tell Paul, because if I end up ever there when he's there, he'll be dragging me on.
Oh, yes. You know what he'll do? He'll tell you there's a stuffed Mickey Mouse on the top, just you.
Yeah.
For those who don't know Sue, she is an absolute fanatical Mickey Mouse fan.
loves Mickey.
She's absolutely got a bedroom full of them. Every conversation is full of Mickey. So that's why we take the Mickey. Right, Nettie, what's your least liked ride?
This is a very, very easy answer for me. The Mission Space, I don't know why, but I've put myself through it 4 times going on to try it. I don't like it one bit. I am very, very claustrophobic. I'm getting on that. It just, I don't like the way it comes down on top of you.
Mm.
The last time I did it was with Cadden, not last year, the year before. And when we got on, there was a couple on, already on, that had stayed on and ridden 5 times.
Oof.
The woman was by the door and the man was there. And then I got in and Cadden was by our door here. Oh, I thought I was going to push him out of the door. I just wanted to get out of that space.
Wow.
I spent the whole, I don't know how long it takes, about a minute, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I spent the whole time with my eyes shut, and you're supposed to be an aviator or a pilot or whatever. I just blindly pressed buttons, kept my eyes shut till we got off, and I'll never go on again.
Which colour did you do? The green or the orange?
The orange.
Ooh, brave.
Yeah. I'm not going on again, ever.
Last time I went on there, I got off and I felt like I'd had an elephant sat on my chest. It was that tight.
I really
hurt.
I don't know why I put myself through it 4 times, but I have.
I love it.
It's too claustrophobic. When they shut them doors and then it comes down towards you, can't breathe. I couldn't even, no, don't like it.
No, I've got to admit, it's not one of my favourites at all.
I'm quite happy to sit out on that one and watch the bags.
I do that a lot.
I'll go on anything else, any other rides in Florida, anything.
It means you could be an astronaut one day, because that's that force that they put on you is what they do, astronaut training. They spin you really fast.
Oh, it is the G force.
That's right. Yeah.
I could never be an astronaut then, because it hurts.
I wonder if this is what the new Galaxy's Edge ride is, the Smuggler Run, is going to be like as well.
Oh God!
Do you think they'll encase you in that one as well?
Well, we all have a job to do on there, so possibly we'll see.
Yeah. I'll
it's an interesting one to look forward to. That
we'll find out in May when Disneyland's is released.
Yeah.
I'll watch it on YouTube first.
Yes,
always a good idea. Right, what are you looking forward to the most? I'll just leave that as an open question. Whoever gets in first. What's coming up new? What are you looking forward to the most?
I can't go on the gondolas.
Ian is. Ian's looking forward to those, Kath.
Yeah, they look like they go 11 miles an hour or something like that. So I thought they were going to be slower than that, but
yeah,
looks like they're going to go quite well. And apparently you get a really good perspective from Epcot as you come round to it as well. So that'd be really nice to see.
So for anyone that doesn't know what it is.
Oh, they are the... They're called the Skyliner Gondolas. They come in the fall. They'll seat up to 10 people, I believe. And then it's another form of Disney transportation, like a cable car that goes from a few different resorts that I couldn't possibly say at the minute.
No, I couldn't tell you
either. And head into Hollywood Studios, I think, and Epcot. So, yeah, looking forward to those.
Very good. Have I covered everybody with that question now?
I'm looking forward to Toy Story Land because I've not seen that yet.
Oh, you're going to love it.
I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that. And Sesame Street.
Oh, Sesame Street, I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both of them.
Our kids will love Sesame Street.
They will, yeah.
Yeah. We went to Toy Story Land just after it had first opened. And to be honest, I was a bit disappointed how small it was. I thought it'd be a lot bigger.
Yeah.
It looks small. It does look small.
Yeah, I was with the build-up. Yeah, with the build-up they had to it, I was expecting this big land, and it's what's in it is good, but it's just not as big as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it looks small.
And the
Jess would have loved Sesame Street. SeaWorld's one of her faves.
Yeah.
Pet Ahoy, she loves it.
Oh, wow. Bex?
And the fact that so much of it is outside and not air-conditioned in Toy Story Land was a big setback we found, because we went in
the... Right, yeah.
Yeah, there isn't a lot of shade there for anyone. But overall, I'd still give it a good 9 out of 10. It's just could have done with a bit more.
I'm looking forward to it. It's all new to me, so I'm looking forward to both of them.
I'm not trying to put you off, because what they've got in there is really good, and the kids loved it. So I'm sure they'll be over the moon with it.
Yeah. Us big kids.
Me now, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, earlier on you were saying about, you know, everything's all about Mickey with me. Well, I'm looking forward to Mickey's Runaway Train. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Train in the old, I can't remember, it's gone out of my head. Can you have Great Movie Ride?
Yes.
Yeah, it's in the thing of the Great Movie Ride. That's supposed to be opening, I'm not sure. This year, anyway, is it the spring it's opening, or?
Fall,
yeah. Well, hopefully by October when I go, it might be open. If not, I'll get it next year. But yeah, that's the one I'm looking forward to seeing.
Oh, brilliant. As we get closer to all these openings, we will go into them in depth a little bit more. We'll gather information and we'll give you all more information on this podcast. And I'm sure we'll be able to tell you a little bit more detail than we can now, because we're just, like everybody else, guessing most of it. We know what we want to see on the rides, but we can't actually see. We don't actually know what's coming.
I feel like someone has to mention the new Star Wars land that's coming.
I didn't think anybody would then. I was just going to bring that up. Go ahead, Bex.
Oh, no, I just can't wait to see it, because it's being built in, I was going to call it MGM then, Hollywood Studios. And it's got its own hotel, and it's meant to be so immersive, which I think is just really, really interesting to see what Disney will do with it. And I just hope they do a good job, because what they've done so far with Star Wars has been pretty decent. So,
Looking at some of the pictures I've seen of it getting built, there's been some recently on Mickey Views on YouTube. It looks like it's going to be a really, really good land as such. Yeah. So the detail is going to be more interesting, I'm sure.
We fly home the day it opens.
Afternoon.
You see it open first thing in the morning. We are knowing Bob, he'll be up and in the park and back out and gone. I've ridden it.
Yeah.
Well, here's hoping. Anyway, if you don't get on it, it's an excuse for your next booking.
Definitely.
You can get straight on with booking again. Right, we are near enough at the end of this little first group clip for the Orlando Info Pod. On the show, of course, you're listening to it now. You're going to hear lots of other clips from different people and a little bit of humour, I'm sure, because we have Mr. Grumpy himself, Michael Hadley, is going to be reading a bit more from his book, as long as you're not afraid of a little bit of innuendo. But it's a really good book that he's reading out to us that he's written. It's his second, and sales are going through the roof, I'm sure. Right, all I want to do is say a very big thank you, firstly to Paul and Joe Elwell, who have had to leave us early, then to Sue Sutherland, Kath and Becky Watson, and Annette Kenny for taking the time out to help me with this recording for our first podcast. We're still learning how to do things. We're still learning what format we're going to have. So if it seems a bit rough and ready, bear with us. It will get smoother and slicker and better as we go along.
Yeah.
But we'll still be ourselves. We'll still be natural and idiotic as we are. So do hope you enjoy the rest of the show and that you give us a little bit of feedback. I'm going to let everyone say goodbye to you from this segment. So we'll start off with Kath and Becky.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. It's been lovely to chat, and we'll see you real soon.
Yep. See you soon.
Sue.
Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I'm sure that you'll hear from us all very soon. Good night.
And Annette.
Lovely chatting to you all. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
So for now, I'm going to say thank you for joining us for this segment of the show. Please stay with us and enjoy everything else we've got on offer for you. I'll be back in about 2 ticks. Bye for now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Orlando Info Pod chat with Kath Watson and
Bob Watson
and
Becky Watson.
So we've got a little family affair going on, and we thought we'd just have a little chat. We are huge Disney fans that you would know already. We also like the other theme parks, but we thought let's have a little chat about things to do outside of the theme parks, not just in Orlando, but in Florida as a whole. So we've been lucky enough to travel around quite a lot and do some things. And you might enjoy some of the things that we enjoy doing. And there might be some things that you've done that we haven't. If you haven't, let us know on the page. We'd really like to hear from you. So what's our top things to do outside the parks, Bob?
Well, probably the one thing we seem to do more of when we're outside the parks than anything else is shopping.
That's because you've got two girls in the family.
Seem to spend a lot of time in a lot of variety of shopping opportunities.
So, we like to do quite a lot of shopping. We quite like going around the supermarkets and seeing what kind of food and drinks and things we can buy over there. We get very excited by M&M caramel flavours and mint flavours and all sorts of things like that. And I know it's a really big thing to bring back chocolate from the States, because you can only get sorts of things over there.
Like everyone else, we spend a long time in Walmart.
We like Walmart. How about you, Beth?
Yeah, there's quite a few shops that you only get out in the States that you can't get over here. Yeah, Walmart's a really good one, especially the different types of foods that you can get that you just don't get the variety over here. Like you were saying, the different types of M&Ms. My favourite would be probably the pretzel flavours, which are slowly coming into the UK, but you definitely can only get the real variety and the wacky flavours in America. As well as that, you have Publix, which everyone raves about their sandwiches, their homemade sandwiches that you can get at the deli counter.
To give some people an idea about these supermarkets, Walmart's is on your Asda kind of level. Publix, you're getting more up towards your Waitrose kind of level. They're very different experiences.
Yes. At Walmart, you can buy a gun and a pint of strawberries in the same shop.
And you will see people out in their pyjamas and slippers and even more bizarre things than that very often.
Mm. And then you have somewhere like Target, which is a mixture of all sorts of different things, isn't it?
Yes.
It's yeah. Clothes shopping and food shopping, and yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, but yeah. quite some good clothes in there as well.
So which do you prefer going to, Beck, of the supermarkety kind of places?
Well, I've got quite the sweet tooth, so I think it would probably be Walmart, just because of the choice of sweets that you can get there and various confectionery. So yeah, that'd probably be my favourite supermarket.
I find it absolutely crazy, though, in the supermarkets over there, that you can buy a dozen Krispy Kremes for less than $5, but fresh fruit and veg is extortionate. It's like $11 for a pint of strawberries.
It is one of the ridiculous things over there. Food from supermarkets, the kind of grocery sort of things, so your fruit and veg, your cooked meats, your standard breads and things like that, they seem really, really expensive over there.
Mm. If you're thinking you're gonna save some money by, you know, having a kitchen and buying your own groceries and cooking at home, it's just not the case. It's way cheaper just eat out while you're out there and go to restaurants or fast food or that kind of thing and just deal with it really for the holiday.
But going back to Publix that you mentioned earlier, and you hinted at this earlier on, the great thing that they do have there is their delicatessen counter and their sub counter.
Public sandwiches.
Do you want to, seeing as you're drooling there, do you want to?
It's a bit like Subway, but better. They do very, very nice fresh sandwiches that they make in front of you rather than the horrible packaged things you get off the counters in our supermarkets. And like in Subway, you choose your breads and you choose your what goes in it, and they are really nice.
And then we cut those in half.
Yeah.
Share them up, take them down the beach, and it's almost like having a picnic on the beach, like back at home at our seaside.
and it's the cost compared with if you'd had to buy all that the salad-y stuff and whatever to end up throwing half of it away. It's it's really good value to just get their sandwiches.
I think my favourite one is the turkey and cheese sub, which is delicious. And then the other good thing about it is, I know, because they're quite long as well. Some of them can be long, can't they? About 30 centimetres, would you say?
That would be a foot long.
Thank you. And then if you're sharing, because I know Beck and I have shared one in the past, and she would prefer to have, for example, tomatoes on her half, but I don't want them on my half. And they will make them to that specific order as well, won't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to share with Charlie, which means I get all the salad at my end. and then it just cuts off, and then there's meat at the other end for Charlie.
He's a salad dodger, isn't he, yeah. Let's be honest.
Well, if we're talking about shopping in Florida, we definitely have to talk about some of the other draws that are out there. Like, for example, the outlets is something that I think is especially appealing to try and do when you get out to the States, because it's the kind of it's the only place where you can get sort of branded stuff quite cheap, like way cheaper than you'd get in the UK at least.
It can be hit and miss. Some stores you'll get good deals, and you have to look around for the deals. But when you get the deals, they are good.
Yeah,
I definitely stock up on my Converse while I'm out there, and probably next time I go out, I'll stock up on my Skechers. Definitely found the appeal of them in the past couple of years.
Vans as well out there, so footwear's really good. There's a big Nike and Reebok store out there as well. So if you like specific clothing and things like that, or branded names, then yeah, it used to be called Belts at the top of iDrive, and I still call it that. It's not called that anymore. It's Premium Outlets.
I think that's Orlando Premium.
Is Premium, yeah. And up there you've got things like Yankee Candle. There's a Character Warehouse for Disney. Michael Kors is up there. It's absolutely huge.
What's good about the Character Warehouse is you get things there that you just can't get in the theme parks. It's a lot more unique, and yeah, you get a bit more of a out there choice, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you get a lot of the discontinued stuff that no one actually wanted to buy when it was in the theme park.
Yeah. I mean, we've been lucky and bought some things you wouldn't necessarily buy in the theme park at full price, but they are quite curious and interesting things that we've been glad we've bought. We've had It's a Small World little side plate, which is really cute with the boat printed on it and all the little doll characters in the cartoon form. And we wouldn't have bought those in the theme park, but as they were only $5 up at the Character Warehouse, we thought, why not? And we enjoy using them, and they remind us of being on holiday. I did see recently, as we're talking, it's the end of May, probably about 2-3 weeks ago, that they had Banshees in the Character Outlet for a very...
Oh, wow.
They went very quickly.
Yes, I could imagine so, yeah. What's nice as well is I remember a couple of years ago now, you got a t-shirt for me and Dad, different t-shirts obviously, but t-shirts for me and Dad that were just unique and you couldn't get anywhere else. So it was quite nice to have something that you knew no one else was wearing, and that's still probably one of my favorite Disney t-shirts, and I wear it all the time. It's nice to have that kind of uniqueness.
One of the really popular shops is the Bath and Body Works, which I know Nanny Nettie and Joelle will absolutely love. There is a good outlet up there as well, and they're in the Florida Mall too. So seems to be a real cult following on the page for that.
Speaking of malls.
Let's head over there, shall we?
Yeah. I have to talk about Sephora, because I know my makeup friends will not be happy with me if I don't talk about it.
Which mall have you gone to?
Ooh, we've been to Florida Mall, Mall of Millennia. I'm trying to think of other ones now. Those are the two big ones, at least.
Yeah.
And both are, like, very different in the kind of malls they are as well. Because you get very, like, high-end, like the Apple Store and Tiffany's and stuff in one. And then you just get absolutely everything in the Florida Mall.
A whole day in the Florida Mall and not see everything, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
There are some areas for the men to sit on sofas and wait in the air conditioning for the women to be done.
Yes, you can spend the whole day in the Florida Mall just waiting.
Well, if you are staying at the Florida Mall Hotel, you can just spend the day by the pool instead.
So which shops do you like in the Florida Mall?
Well, I love Sephora, which is a great makeup shop that's... You just can't compare it to anything else over here. I guess it's a bit like... it's probably a bit like Debenhams, but you just get brands that are world-renowned that just haven't come over to the UK yet, like Tarte and Fenty and all sorts like that. I also quite like my clothes shops. So I like Torrid because that does really good plus-sized clothes and swimming costumes and all sorts like that in there.
They're really trendy, aren't they? So yeah. over in Torrid, the clothes that they do for plus-size women are fashionable and fashion-forward and edgy as well.
Yeah.
And really flatter figures as opposed to some shops over here just don't
do. Over here you get like yours and Simply Beaver are very, I'd say, mumsy in the kind of style. It is very mature and sometimes it's nice to just have something that's a bit more like... what are some of your favourites, would you say, Mum? Probably the bag shops, I could imagine.
Well, I like my Michael Kors, so I do like to go in and have a little look, and Louis Vuitton, so I do like the high-end ones. And I also like shopping for, I like to stock up every year as well on Old Navy clothes, because that really suits my, I'm kind of a relaxed kind of person, jeans and t-shirts and shirts. Relaxed, a bit like me, I think that's what it is. I'm very relaxed, so I like relaxed clothing. So Old Navy's my favourite, and I like to stock up there.
And the sales section's bigger than the whole of a Gap over here or something, isn't it? It's massive.
Gap. Same company, but I prefer their clothes to Gap for sure.
That's the one place that I do like to stock up on my clothing is Old Navy. I think about half my wardrobe's Old Navy. Navy and Disney clothes take up a fair chunk of what's in my wardrobe.
So just before we'll head out to the malls, and just before we finish up for this section, it's worth noting the shops that are similar to our TK Maxx. So there are a few of those. One is Ross, there's Marshalls and TJ Maxx, which very identifiable. And if you've been to TK Maxx in our country, you're basically looking at exactly the same thing. So you'll have designer clothes, handbags, shoes, homeware, things like that at a really reduced price. And if you can get to one of those and you like your designer stuff at a reduced price, worth going there as well to have a look. You always have a look for your trainers.
I never find them, though. I look, but I don't find.
In the same area, you get things like good spaces for office supplies, and you get things like Barnes & Noble as well. They're kind of almost like, trying to think what the word is that we have for it over here. It's like an, I can't think what the word
is. Like the out-of-town shopping areas?
But we found some nice folders and stuff like that, haven't we, in places like that. And CVS is quite good fun to go around.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention CVS.
CVS and Walgreens.
And Walgreens. So you think you're walking into a pharmacy and it's just a treasure trove.
It seems to be one of the best places to get our beach chairs when we go down the beach.
But they've got
beach supplies.
Freezers full of food and drinks as well, and toys. Even clothes in there. So, as well as every kind of medication you could wish for and some more besides. And I think in store they have a pharmacist as well, don't they?
Yes.
That gives advice. So, yeah. Okay, so that wraps up our little bit about shopping. And we'll touch again soon about what else we like to do outside the Disney park. So it's bye from Cass.
Bye from Bob.
Bye from Becky.
Hello Orlando Info Zoners, you're listening to Vicky tonight, and Peter's asked us how Orlando has changed our lives. And do you know what, it's a really, really difficult question, because I mean, it's a holiday destination, it's a place we go to have fun, to make our kids happy, to make ourselves happy. But how has it changed us? It's changed my life, that's for sure, because in wanting to go to Orlando and have holidays and make memories there, then naturally I joined the Orlando groups on Facebook and came across Orlando Info Zone, of which I'm now admin. Now, I'm not going to lie to you, the majority of my closest friends are now on that page or are admin on that page. We have a wonderful friendship group and I've met different people from all over the country. It's a lot based in Scotland. But you know what, I love you Scots, so all's well. But yeah, it's changed my life in respect that, you know, I'm not going to lie, I love Orlando, I love planning, I love being there, but right now, I think in the 2 year breaks in between my trips to Orlando, I'm just loving talking about it and talking with the people I met through at my love for Orlando. I'm going out and doing things in the UK, enjoying the UK with some of these people that love Orlando. So Andy, Susan, Peter, everybody on here, if you get the chance to meet them, we will. Simone lives in the next village. It's enriched my life, I think, with friendship. I think that's the biggest gain in how it's changed my life, and for the better. I think from a family perspective, it's a wonderful place to go. It's full of character. It brings out the characters in you. And I think when you see your children and your family interact with people they admire, for example, Zachary's first interaction with Spider-Man, it will bring a tear to your eyes. I mean, it's just, you just can't prepare for that overwhelming feeling. But then there's also the overwhelming feeling where you prepare for things and you plan for things for them to be perfect and they go completely wrong. For example, Zachary's first birthday that he had over in the States, you know, we'd been there a week or so already. He'd rode Splash Mountain, only just beginning for it. And then halfway through the week, we lost his shoes. We didn't realise we'd lost his shoes. He had several pairs of shoes, so he had a different pair of shoes on. So, and then as we were going towards Splash Mountain to get him measured again, I'm going to pause because James is listening to me. And as we're heading towards Splash Mountain to get Zachary back on the ride, it turns out it was the shoes that were just slightly taking him over to reach that magic 90 centimetres at the time. And all he wanted to do on his birthday was ride Splash Mountain. Alas, he was literally a fag paper, shall we say, too short for the ride, so we couldn't get on. And I think it hurt me more than it hurt anybody else. I had these plans of, this is what we're going to do. He's going to have the most amazing day riding the rides that he loves, that we love as a family, get some more magic shots for the memory maker, and then go for a character interaction for tea at Hollywood and Vine. So already my plans are scuppered because he couldn't ride Splash Mountain. I had tears in my eyes. I was crying, I'm not going to lie, I cried. I was a bit overwhelmed. It was the heat was getting to me, that's what it was. But, you know, we carried on, we rode a few of the rides, and then we headed over to Hollywood Studios because I booked us in for our first ever and only character dining that evening at Hollywood and Vine. It was Minnie, Mickey, Goofy and the pals dressed up ready for Halloween. They looked fantastic, but first of all, it absolutely poured it down when we got there. So when we got there, everybody was trying to get into Hollywood and Vine early or get last minute bookings. And we were stood out in the rain for 45 minutes past our reservation because it was simply packed and nobody wanted to come back out from the restaurant because it was chucking it down basically. And I can't say I blame them. So once we finally got in, it felt really rushed. Some of the characters missed our table, clearly not on purpose. They were just getting tugged this way, that way, you know, over and backwards over the Irish Sea. That was a bit silly, Vicky. So there was not much we could do about it. you know, I'm not one for complaining unless it's really necessary. The cast members were lovely doing what they could for us. And it was one of those things. It didn't go to plan. I was a little bit heartbroken. But you know what? Zachary had a fantastic night. He might not have eaten much, but his highlight from that day was getting a bubble blower in Hollywood Studios and watching the fireworks at night. And that's all it took, with the bubble blower and the fireworks. You could have forgot everything else on that day. He woke up to presents, but you could have forgot them. He was happy with the bubble blower. And do you know what? You want everything to be perfect and you want everything to go to plan, but it actually doesn't always do that. So I think it changed my expectations of what a family holiday should be, or didn't actually change my expectations, maybe brought me down to earth a little bit more as to understanding this is what your holiday is about. It's not about trying to create the perfect memory, because the perfect memories aren't made up from staged or planning to precision. The perfect memories are made up from little moments, and it's little moments like just standing watching your, at the time, just turned 4 year old, standing with his hand held out with the bubble machine going off, looking in awe at the bubbles as they dance around him and him dancing with them. And that was a magical moment that I remember from his birthday. Don't get me wrong, I'm going to remember the guy telling me no and me crying, because, you know, I mean, I clearly was, I was just, I can laugh at it now because I think I'd overreacted a little bit with the tears. But hey ho, you know, mum's trying to do what they can, blah blah. Other ways in which Orlando's changed me, it's changed me because it's bloody, it's making me spend all of my money on Orlando related things. And when I say making me, it's introducing me to new ideas, new things that will cost me more money but will enhance my experience. And when I say, you know, I've just spoken to you about not trying to create the perfect experience, I mean time saving things. So for example, no one likes queuing with a 6 year old. I have a 6 year old who, you know, he's okay in a 30, 40 minute queue, but past that, it'll be, are we nearly there? I'm hungry. I need a wee. You know, that they say it's what happens. So what costs me money is trying to get early morning magic. We did it in Magic Kingdom last year and it was completely worth its money. I think it might have been about £60 per person, but that included breakfast, getting in early. We rode Seven Dwarfs Mine Train back to back several times. And I say several, I can count half a dozen, I bet, at least. And we rode everything that was open before getting our breakfast, and getting those uninterrupted pictures in front of the castle as well. It was worth it. So it's changed my bank account for the worse. But it's changed my heart for the better, because it really does make me happy. What else has it done for me? How has it changed my life? You know, I could have a better car. Alas, I prefer my holidays. How has it changed your life? Get writing on the group how you think Orlando's changed your life. It does mean I'm stuck on the internet a little bit more than I should be, really. A bit too much screen time, just being admin, having a look around, chatting, hoping everybody is getting what they need from the Orlando Info Zone network sites. And I really do enjoy that. And it's finding that balance between doing it when you've got the time and not doing it in family time or when I should be working, which occasionally I may just have a little quick scroll. But that's about it, I think. I think it's changed my life for the better, definitely. Especially when you consider the friendships that I've achieved as part of Orlando. Sam Wilkes lives over there, and he's an absolutely lovely lady, and their family. We chat a lot to them. So it's not just UK-bound friendships. And that's about it, really. I think that's enough as to why it's changed my life. But do write on the network how it has changed your life, because it's certainly changed my life for the better. Over and out.
Orlando InfoPod.
the podcast for all things Orlando. Do you love vacationing in the magical world of Orlando, Florida? Do you need information, news, laughter? Well, this is the podcast for you. We have news, views, and information that will help you have the best vacation ever. Available on 8 platforms. Find us on Facebook for all the links.